Amen. Come on, put those hands together for Jesus this morning. He's doing something great in this place. Come on, love on it just a little bit this morning. We have stepped into a vein of the Holy Ghost this morning. And where Jesus is, anything is possible. Come on, I said where Jesus is, anything is possible. I was reminded this morning when we were in worship. I wasn't there, clearly. But I was reminded in Ezekiel 37, when the Lord spoke to Ezekiel and said, speak to the dry bones and prophesy over the dry bones. And if I can paraphrase it, the Lord told Ezekiel to prophesy, come alive. And I feel like there's some situations in here today, some dry bones that are just waiting for you to speak to them and say, come alive. And what happened? Those bones began to come together and there was tissues that formed. And before long, there was a great army. And what started off as a symbol of death and as a symbol of defeat, when the Lord spoke, everything turned around and they became a great army. Come on, I've come to tell somebody what looks like defeat in your life. When God shows up, He's going to turn that into victory. Come on, speak right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever's going on in your life, speak to that situation right now. All over this place, every hand lifted up, every voice lifted up. What is your dry bone situation? Speak to that right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, that disease, that illness, that addiction. Come on, mama, your kid's coming home. Speak to that dry bone situation right now. Come on, speak it out right now. Speak it out in faith right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, Jesus sent this preacher from Toledo, Ohio to come to Cleveland today and let you know. He sees where you are. And he's come to tell you everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. I want to give honor Pastor Roberts, wonderful leadership team here. Thank you for the invitation to be here. Excited to see what God is going to do this morning and tonight. We don't have night service in Toledo, so coming to Sunday night service is going to be a special treat for me because I haven't been to a Sunday night service in a long time. So don't get that. Don't get any ideas. They're not going to be doing that here. I do want to say also honor the other Roberts, Nick and Chrissy, doing a great job in Section 1 here leading our youth and leading the church youth. Amen. How many? You guys love a youth pastor? I want to honor my pastor, Chris Dillingham, giving me the opportunity to be here today. And my wife and little one were not able to travel with me this weekend, but I think there's a picture they can throw up there. My wife, there they are. My wife is Danielle, and my little one is, her name is Pemberley, and she's about 2.5 and just full of energy, and I tell you what, I miss them. Being gone here a couple of days is killing me here, so thank you for the invitation allowing us to be here today. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, going to read a couple verses, and we're just kind of going to skip around just a little bit here this morning. I tell you what, I was not able to be there Friday night. I did watch the live stream for a good bit, and I tell you what, there was a move of the Holy Ghost that took place Friday night. Reports came back that said there was about 85 people were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. 500 plus miracles were reported. Come on, somebody. God is on the move. And it was said this morning, He's not done yet. We're believing that same power that's on the campground is here today. And you can be filled with the Holy Ghost today. You can receive your healing today. Got two people that believe that here with me this morning. I believe it. We're two or three. Amen, amen. I truly believe that by the time we leave this place, everybody in this house is going to be speaking in tongues. Forgive my faith, but that's just what I believe today. When you leave this house, you're going to be speaking in tongues, whether it's for the first time or the thousandth time. You're going to get the Holy Ghost today. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Very familiar passage of scripture to many of us. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord, Pastor, in one place. Talking about some unity this morning. And suddenly, there anybody thankful for some suddenly situations in your life? Where all of a sudden you didn't expect God to show up, but suddenly He showed up and did something you weren't expecting Him to do. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Somebody say, all the house. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled. Somebody say, all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 16. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. Come on. The Holy Ghost. Somebody say, the Holy Ghost is for everybody. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Come on, somebody say this morning, the Holy Ghost is for everyone. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Holy Ghost is for you. Turn to your other neighbor and say, the Holy Ghost is for you. With the help of the Lord, I'm going to preach for a few minutes on this simple subject. The Holy Ghost is for you. The Holy Ghost is for you. Jesus, thank you for your presence we feel in this house today. God, thank you for showing up. We already feel you in this place. God, continue to move us as we enter to the remainder of this service. Pour out your presence. Pour out your Spirit today in a mighty way in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. Turn to your neighbor one more time and say, the Holy Ghost is for you, as you're seated. I imagine, because I kind of have an imaginative brain, I got that got me in trouble oftentimes when I was a kid. I like to just kind of daydream. But I imagine myself oftentimes in stories like the, you know, when Jesus fed the 5,000 there in Matthew chapter 14, and what it was like to be there and just watch the fish and the bread. Just as like a golden corral of fish and bread. It was just never ending. And all of a sudden you get to the end of the story and there's a bunch of basketfuls left over and doggy bags were sent home. I imagine what it was like to be there in Mark chapter 6 when Jesus walked on the water through a storm and watching Peter step out of the boat and walk on water with Jesus, and imagining what the disciples were saying about Peter and how much they were mocking him and telling, hey, Peter, stay in the boat, stay in the boat. And I can imagine Peter saying, hey, I'd rather be out of the boat with Jesus than in the boat without him. I could preach in itself right there. I imagine myself being there in Mark chapter 10 when blind Bartimaeus had that encounter with Jesus, and blind Bartimaeus called out and said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped. Come on, there's a desperation that we see in that story that gets Jesus' attention. When you're desperate for Jesus, he will stop what he's doing and turn and look to you. And he will be what you need him to be. I wish I was there to see what happened in John chapter 11 when Jesus was at the tomb of Lazarus, and Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and it was an impossible situation. He speaks to Lazarus and says, Lazarus, come forth. And out of that tomb comes this man wrapped in all kinds of grave cloths, looking like a mummy out of a Michael Jackson thriller video. He comes stepping out, and all of a sudden he is there alive and in person. Come on, you think a couple days in the tomb, it was hot, it's nasty, it smelled. Listen, the stink don't stop Jesus. I don't care what you got going on in your life. I don't care what you got going on in your world, what kind of mess you're in. Jesus is here today to show up, and he's calling your name to come out. I can imagine just being there, watching Jesus' ministry, watching him heal the sick and heal the lame and the blind and touching the outcasts of society. There was no disease that was too great for Jesus. There was no bondage that was too strong for Jesus. There was no demon that was too powerful for Jesus. And let me pause right here on this Sunday morning for some station identification and remind somebody that there is still no disease too great for Jesus to heal. There is still no bondage that's too great for Jesus to break. There is still no demon too strong for Jesus to overcome. Y'all didn't know, y'all gonna get some preaching this morning. You preach to me, I get done quicker, y'all go to lunch. Because I know I'm the one thing standing between you and a good meal. And here I said Golden Corral, the very first thing. And as amazing as all of that was, I believe something today. I know something today that I want to share with you today. As amazing as all of that was, and as amazing as it would have been to be there and see all that, I have come to declare that there's something even greater available today. As great as it was to be with Jesus, and for Jesus to be with you, there is something greater, and that is Jesus being in you. Come on, it's one thing to be with Jesus, and it's one thing for Jesus to be with you, but it's a greater thing for Jesus to be in you. How many can say before Jesus, my life was a mess? Come on, you don't deserve to be here today. Your life was a mess. You don't deserve to be sitting here. You were strung out. You were doped up doing God knows what with God knows who. But Jesus Christ showed up and got a hold of your heart and your life and filled you with the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost showed up in the right place at the right time. The Holy Ghost changed the way you look. It changed the way that you talk. It changed the way that you thought. It changed the places that you go. Come on, I read in my Bible, greater is he that is in me than he that is in me. Come on, is there anybody thankful that Jesus is living on the inside today? I am thankful to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to share my testimony in just a few minutes. But I am thankful to be filled this morning with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And if you do not have the gift of the Holy Ghost, today is your day. Pastor, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Does he stop being Jesus after tomorrow? My Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today. Which means what he did back then, he can do today. What he did for you back then, he can do for for you today. What he did for your family, he can do for your city. What he did for you, he can do for your co-workers. What he did for your family. What he did for you, he wants to do for everybody in your circle of influence. What he, the healing that he gave you, he wants you to use that as a testimony to bring glory to his name that will bring somebody else to Jesus. Listen, it doesn't matter how deep you are in the world of drugs. Jesus wants to save you today. It doesn't matter if your life is all messed up today. Jesus wants to save you. I don't care if you're an atheist in this place. Jesus died to save you. I don't care if you're a Satanist. Jesus wants to save you. And he's got the power to do it. Brother Nick, the greatest miracle that I have ever witnessed in my life has not been seeing blinded eyes open. I've seen those. Has not been here watching somebody receive their hearing for the first time. I've seen that. It's not watching a limb grow. I've seen that. Nothing to bring glory to me. It's all I didn't do it. Jesus did. The greatest miracle that I have ever seen is when I was filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the second greatest miracle I have ever witnessed is watching somebody else receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's the greatest miracle on this planet. Listen, you can be healed of cancer and still go to hell. You can be healed of diabetes and still go to hell. You can be healed of all sorts of infirmities and still go to hell. But when you're born of the water and of the Spirit, that is the key to the entrance into the kingdom of God. I was 8 years old when I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. It was in the basement of our church. Our church, we were in a smaller church. And, it was in the middle of winter. I grew up in Wisconsin. Did you guys just hear that? Wisconsin. That's my accent coming out there. We were having service in the basement of the church because that was the most efficient way to heat it. We couldn't afford to heat the main sanctuary upstairs, so we were all bundled down. And I received the gift of the Holy Ghost in the middle of winter. In the basement, after my dad finished preaching. And when I received the gift of the Holy Ghost, I began to speak in other tongues. And when I received the Holy Ghost, it was immediately after my dad had laid his hands on me. And let me tell you what was going on in my dad's world. My dad, who was pastoring a church that was under attack, he was under attack physically. He had blown discs, L4, L5. He could hardly stand for more than 10 minutes. He had to sit down to preach because it was just so painful. And even then, he was shifting in his seat just to try to find a spot that is comfortable for him. And so when I began to pray for the Holy Ghost and my dad laid his hands on me, I began to speak in other tongues, and immediately my dad received a healing in his back. Come on. Sometimes the Holy Ghost is not just for you, but it's for this person who's sitting next to you. Listen, there's power in the Holy Ghost. There's healing in the power of the Holy Ghost. There's deliverance in the power of the Holy Ghost. I will never forget that day. I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. I didn't accept Jesus into my heart. I didn't pray a prayer of acceptance. And if you've done that, we celebrate that with you. That's an amazing step. I remember a guy by the name of Cornelius, who was a devout man, who prayed to God. And it took God getting a hold of a guy by the name of Peter, grabbing him by the scruff of the neck and saying, "Hey, don't you dare call unclean what I've cleansed." I don't have time to preach that. But Cornelius was doing what he knew what to do. He was a good Christian, if we can say that. But Peter showed up and said, "Hey, bub, there's more. All you're doing is good stuff, but there's more." And the Bible says in Acts chapter 10 that Cornelius' family received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that's just not the end of the story. The Bible says that they were then baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of their sins. receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost is the greatest miracle that you will ever receive. The Creator of the universe comes and dwells on the inside of you. And that scares hell to death. Because now they know they're not just fighting you and your spirit. Now they're fighting you, your spirit, and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost living on the inside. Jesus Christ dwelling on the inside. It scares hell to death because he knows that there's more power in one breath of Jesus than the entire arsenal of hell. And the Holy Ghost, I've come to tell you, is greater than suicide. The Holy Ghost is greater than torment. The Holy Ghost is greater than depression. It does not matter what nightmares hell has been sending your way. When the Holy Ghost gets up inside of you, hell cannot fight against the power of the Holy Ghost. Listen, if Jesus is the one that created the weapon that is attacking you, shouldn't it make sense that he also knows how to defeat the weapon that is also attacking you? Makes sense to me. The Holy Ghost is for you. Somebody say, the Holy Ghost is for me. The Holy Ghost is greater than any drug you will ever try. The Holy Ghost is greater than any drink of alcohol you will try. It's greater than any immoral act. And there's no drug like the Holy Ghost. I heard it once said that there's no high like the Most High. Come on, when you're filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, you're gonna feel something that you've never felt before. There's gonna be a freedom. The Bible says it's gonna be like a river that's bubbling up on the inside, flowing out of your belly. I was sitting around yesterday evening in my hotel lobby area. I don't know, I'm weird, but when I go and if I have things to do, study, whatever, I don't really like to stay cooped up in my hotel room. I like to go out and get distracted. I don't know. It makes sense for me to stay in a quiet room, doesn't it? But me, I'm all cooped up most of the time during the week in my office working, so I'm like, I'm just going to be out. And I'll tell you what, Pastor, watching some of these guys come up to the hotel bar and just watching this slow digression over about an hour, you know, walking in, talking, having a conversation. About an hour and a half later, next thing you know, they're doing this, going, and there's tripping over each other, and they're slurring their words. This morning was a rough morning for them. Come on. Anybody can be honest and say, hey, been there, done that. But listen, there ain't no hangover that's going to bring you down when you're filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. In fact, let me just tell you this right now. That alcohol is going to give you a hangover in this world, but the Holy Ghost is going to make you an overcomer of this world. I believe that today. Come on, can anybody be real just for a second and say, I've tried the drugs, I've tried the alcohol, and then I tried Jesus, and nothing compares to what I did in the world. Woo. Come on, somebody who don't deserve to be sitting here right now. Somebody that can say, hey, if it wasn't for the Lord, where would I be today? If it wasn't for the Lord, he's the one that picked me up out of the miry clay, set my feet on a rock. Come on, he gave you the Holy Ghost and gave you power over the darkness. The Holy Ghost is for you. Come on, am I helping somebody today? The Holy Ghost is for you. It's for your family. It's for your kids. Some of y'all's kids need the Holy Ghost. Bless God. My kid's 2 and a half, going on 18, and she needs to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. God have mercy. The Holy Ghost is for your boss. The Holy Ghost is for your spouse. Nobody turn. My turn. It's for the teachers in your school. It's for your bosses. Come on, the Holy Ghost is for them, but the Holy Ghost is for you. I was speaking with an evangelist a couple months ago who told the story that he was preaching in, I forget what state it was, somewhere between California and Florida. We can just say that, somewhere in there. And he said there was a lady that came up to him and said, I had to just try this. I had to come check this thing out to see if it was the same thing here as it was in the jail cell. And he's like, well, that's okay. Tell me more. And so she began to tell him that just a couple weeks earlier, she had been released from jail. And somehow or another, she got a hold of a recording of a message, a revival service he was preaching there while he was in that city. And her and her cellmate put this recording on, and they were listening to it. And at the end, when he had everybody repent, go through all that process, which we're going to go through here in just a few minutes. And when he told the people, when he told the crowd, lift your hands, begin to praise the Lord, shout hallelujah. They did it. They looked at you and said, well, what's it going to? They did it. And immediately, the two of them were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost in that jail cell. Come on, if he can do it for them. Somebody say, he can do it for me. When I was in college, there was several connections I was able to make. And one day I was sitting in our cafeteria area, lunch area, and there was a young girl, found out her name was Morgan. And I had known about Morgan because there was somebody that was close to me, that was a mutual friend. I hadn't met Morgan yet, but said, hey, if you happen to run into to Morgan, she's going through a rough time right now. So there's a lot going on in her life. This is what she looks like. She's usually always wearing, you know, these sort of colors. And I'm like, so in that lunch day, I said, okay. I said, excuse me, this might be really awkward, and I'm sorry if I'm embarrassing you, or and I'm really sorry if I embarrass myself. But is your name Morgan? And she says, yes, my name's Morgan. I said, okay. All right, God, here we go. I don't know what I'm doing, but let's go. You ever done that? Just say, okay, God, hey, if you don't go with me, I'm in trouble. I got stories that I could tell. He's never failed me. I promise you that. I promise you that. Come on, somebody. So I got talking to Morgan, found out she was going through a lot. Family was just, her parents were just going through a divorce. Just a lot happening. She was mad at God. And right there in the middle of the cafeteria area, I said, Morgan, would you mind if, you don't know me a lot. I don't know you, but I do know somebody who knows what you're going through. His name's Jesus. And he's felt your pain. He's felt your hurt. And he loves you. And we just began to have just wonderful conversation. I said, would you mind if we prayed? And so we began to pray. Tears streaming down Morgan's face. The presence of God slipping in that cafeteria room. Next thing I knew, Morgan was sitting there. I said, Morgan, just lift your hands. Never went through a Bible study with her. She didn't know what the Holy Ghost was. But I said, Morgan, why don't you just lift your hands? Jesus is doing something for you right now. She lifted her hands, and I said, Morgan, just begin to worship Jesus. And Morgan began to worship Jesus. And I said, just say, I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I never laid hands on her. We never had this, you know, shaking a moment. All of a sudden, Morgan begins to speak in a language that she was filled with the Holy Ghost right there in the middle of the cafeteria. Truth be told, I didn't look around. I was, frankly, if I can be honest, a little scared to look around. I wasn't sure who was watching. All of a sudden, we had that moment. She put her hands down, wiped her eyes, and said, she said, what was that? I said, Morgan, that was Jesus that is now living on the inside. She said, well, I don't know what it was, but it feels good. I said, Morgan, let me tell you something else. You think you feel good now, but Jesus died and shed his blood so that your sins would be completely remitted and completely forgiven. I said, have you ever been baptized? She said, well, I was baptized when I was an infant, but nothing. I said, well, let's take a moment. And then I had a little Bible study with her.
We went through baptism. I showed her baptism in the Bible, and she saw the necessity. She's like, you know what? Okay, I see the Holy Ghost. I got that. Now I see baptism. I haven't done that yet. Let's do it. I said, all right. When do you want to do it? How about right now? I said, well, let me. I have a psychology class, but I'm going to skip that. So I skipped my psychology class. So young people, never skip class unless you're going to baptize somebody. That's right. So I said, hey, all right, let's go. Here's, you know where the pool is. I know where the pool is. Let's meet here in 30 minutes. And so we met there. Get there, and all of a sudden, I know it's exciting, isn't it? We're just excited telling this story. We get there, and all of a sudden, guess what? There's a swim team practice. Okay. All right, God, I don't know what you're doing, but we're just going to do this. You know, we're going to see what happens. All of a sudden, Morgan gets there. Morgan is good friends with the captain, the captain of the swim team. And they were talking, and I just walked over to them, and I said, hey, my name's Corey. You know, this is kind of a little bit of a weird thing. I'm sorry to interrupt your practice, but could we have, like, literally one corner of this pool? Like, I just need, like, literally that corner. And the captain's like, oh, yeah, that's fine. This is awesome. Whatever you need to do. They stop swim practice. We get in there. I baptize Morgan. Morgan. So many stories run through my brain right now. Morgan comes out of the water once again, speaking in a heavenly language, as she's refilled. As like, okay, this is awesome. The swim team is watching this happen, and they're like, "What is that? And when can we do that?" After a 5 to 7 minute Bible study, there was 10 more baptized in Jesus' name. 4 of them received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I know for a fact that 2 of them are still in church today. Come on. All Jesus is waiting on is for you to step out in faith and have that one conversation with somebody in faith. If he can do it for them, he can do it for you. Come on. If he did it in that pool, he can do it in this city, Pastor. Woo. Come on. I feel just a sense of faith in this place today. My God. Woo. Come on. Lift your hands right now. Lift your hands right now. Come on. Let's be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. Come on. We just stepped into a vein right now. Come on, if you need the Holy Ghost, today is your day. Don't you leave this place without speaking in tongues. Don't you leave this place without being refilled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Jesus. Man, Pastor, I'm normally a note guy, but I'm just that all right if I just hang out here flow for a little bit. I'll tell you another story. Because, let's be honest, hearing stories is funner than listening to somebody get up there read notes. If you're a visitor today, thank you for being here. Come back next week to hear your pastor. I'm sorry, you're stuck with me today. I'll tell you another story. About a girl by the name of Brittany, when I was in college as well, we had an awesome, awesome move of God when I was on that campus. Brittany was into the dark arts, the magic, the tarot card reading, the, you know, witchcraft. She didn't know if there was a God. She told me later, you know, Corey, I got into that because it was tangible. I could see it. I understood what, you know, that. And so there was one night, Jesus, there was one night, let me just stop right here and let you know that witchcraft, I come against that right now in the name of Jesus. I don't know who's been dabbling or what you're looking into, but I come against that in the name of Jesus. She was having a seance one night, Pastor. And they were praying to the Spirit. Parents, can I just, I know I'm not a parent for, I'm only a parent for like 2.5 years, but be careful what you allow in your home. I guess I could say that because I'm a parent and a youth pastor. Parents, be careful what you bring into your home. Okay. Get off that. My dad always said that was for free. So they were doing the seance one night in their dorm room, and they had the candles going, and they had the cards out and the Ouija board. And all of a sudden, she heard a spirit. She heard a voice tell her, God doesn't care about you. That would freak me out. I would be out of there flipping the table over. Be like Jesus in the temple, just kicking stuff and beating people. Get out of here. Get out of my way. The spirit told her, she said, it was just odd to hear Jesus, or God doesn't care about you. But then she thought about it. She said, so there is a God. So the spirit just confirmed that there was a God. And she said, if there's a God, then he can help me. And he can do something for me. And he can bring the healing that I've been looking for. And he can fill the void that I've been looking for. We met Brittany. And we went through a Bible study. She came to church. She received the gift of the Holy Ghost. She was baptized in Jesus' name. Listen, the enemy may have been speaking in your ear and whispering things in your ear, but what he doesn't realize is that he's just prophesying what Jesus is getting ready to do in your life. I'm reminded what happened with Joseph. And Joseph was thrown in the pit because of a dream he had. Truth be told, probably should have kept his mouth shut. But he was young. And his brothers one day said, here comes the dreamer. Here comes the dreamer. Here comes the dreamer. He's talking about all these great things he's going to be. The enemy just running the mouth. But what the enemy didn't realize is that they were actually prophesying over him. Because one day he was going to experience that dream. And what the enemy was prophesying, what thought was speaking to you, in hate and trying to bring you down and trying to get into your spirit, it was a prophecy from the Lord saying, hey, what's getting ready to happen? I'm confirming my word right now. Right now. Come on, somebody. We give the enemy too much credit sometimes. We give the enemy too much credit sometimes. The Bible says that it was the Spirit that led Jesus into the wilderness. Sometimes we go on our own, but other times it's Jesus that sends us into the wilderness. We give the enemy too much credit. Most of the time, if I could be honest with you, well, what's going on today? Oh, just the enemy getting after me. What's going on today? I got this headache. Oh, it's from the devil. I'm buying the devil. Well, no, you just didn't get enough sleep last night. That's just a problem, and now you're dealing with it. I'm telling you what, if it happened in my college, on my campus, it's going to happen in this church. Because I said before, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Music, would you come? Somebody, you might be saying today, well, how do I receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? How do I receive the gift of the Holy Ghost? And we see people in the Bible, and just to name a couple, Acts chapter 2 and 10 and Acts chapter 19, they were filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. By the evidence of speaking with tongues. Now some may say, looking at it from the outside in, y'all are crazy for doing that. No, we're not crazy, we're just thankful. Because I'm not who I was before, through the power of the Holy Ghost. When you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, If I could say it like this, when you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the evidence is that you will speak in the language that you have never learned or have ever been taught. It's the language that you won't understand because it's God Almighty now living on the inside. The Bible says it's going to be like rivers of living water flowing from your belly. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night because he was scared of what the rest of the religious world was going to say. And Nicodemus says, how do I see the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, you must be born again of the water and the spirit. We read this in John 3. And he's like, how do I be born again? I mean, like, how's that? I mean, how do I enter into my mother's womb for a second? That just doesn't make any sense. And Jesus is like, oh, no. We're talking a spiritual process and a spiritual experience. When you are born again of the water and of the Spirit. If you have the Holy Ghost today, an amazing part of your journey has started. But if you've not been baptized, there's some more to go. And there's water here. There's appropriate robes. There's towel. I hope so. I can't tell you how warm it is. I got baptized in upstairs. Remember my church? No, in the middle of winter. No heat. Had to have been like 50 degree water. It was freezing. But modern baptistries, today's baptistry, oftentimes it's a sauna. You know, sitting there, kids go swimming. You know. But there is water. What does hinder you? Amen. And if you have been baptized but not received the gift of the Holy Ghost, I challenge you, let Jesus complete that process today. And you walk out of this place filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen, amen. The Holy Ghost is for you. Come on, somebody say, the Holy Ghost is for me. Can we stand all over this place today? I want to give us just a little instruction, and I believe that everybody in this place is going to be speaking in tongues when we say the word in faith. When we speak the word of faith. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask just this simple question. How many in this place, nobody looking around, how many in this place can say, you know what, preacher, I'm so thankful that Jesus has filled me with the gift of the Holy Ghost. How many can say, I'm thankful that I have been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost? Put your hands down. Thank you. Now, how many in this place, is still everybody, nobody looking around. How many in this place can slip up your hand and say, you know what? I've heard a lot about this Holy Ghost. I've not experienced it yet. I want to receive it today. Any hands across this place? We got hands going up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hands down. Amen, amen. Thank you. You can open your eyes. And we asked just for the next few minutes. I talked with Pastor, and he said this is something you guys do on the regular. So let's just make this a family experience. From the back to the front, can we just come around this altar? And we're just going to have some instruction, and we're going to have some prayer, and I'm believing that Jesus is going to pour out His Spirit. Whether it's the first time or the thousandth time, from the back to the front, everybody come on around. Let's just have some family time right now. Pastor, I'm looking around this room, and I'm looking around, and I can't help but think to myself, this is what heaven's going to look like. We ain't a white church. We ain't a black church. We ain't a Hispanic church. We're a people church. And we're a Jesus church. Thank you, Jesus. So for those that are wanting to receive the Holy Ghost today for the first time, just going to walk through just a couple steps together, okay? Number one, we have to repent. We can't receive the Holy Ghost unless we're repentant. And repentance is simply telling Jesus, hey, Jesus, I'm sorry for what I've done, and I'm not going back. I'm not going back. Making that 180 degree turn to say, I'm going away from the sin, away from the addiction, away from the things that are not like you. You have to repent, and we're going to all repent together. The second thing is to receive the Holy Ghost. You must desire to receive the Holy Ghost. Jesus is a perfect gentleman. He's not going to force the Holy Ghost inside anybody. It's a free gift. Pastor, how would it look if I had a present here and I just kept shoving it at you and said, you wouldn't take it, you wouldn't take it. Right? That's not the way Jesus works. Jesus is going to wait till somebody says, I want to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Number three, so repent. You must desire the gift of the Holy Ghost. And number three, you have to focus your mind on God. We need to eliminate distractions. It doesn't matter who's standing next to you. It doesn't matter how bad your breath smells or their breath smells. We have to eliminate distractions and focus on God. Number four, you have to have faith that I'm going to receive the Holy Ghost today. I'm going to receive the Holy Ghost today. Before I leave this place, my faith is high that I am going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And finally, you need to worship God with your own mouth and with a loud voice. I've never seen somebody receive the Holy Ghost like this. I've seen a lot of churches pray like that. But I've never seen somebody receive the Holy Ghost like this. We have to have lifted hands. We call that the receiving position. Any Cleveland Browns fans? Right? What happens if, yeah, I should know. What's a receiver in the Browns? Like big-time receiver. Odell. Okay. All right. Odell. You think he can catch many passes like this? What does he do? That's the receiving position. And this is also what we call the surrender. Because when somebody comes up with you on your back with a gun, first thing you do is, right? That's the receiving position. And so, we're going to repent. You have to desire the Holy Ghost. You have to focus on God. Have faith that you'll receive the Holy Ghost today. And then we will worship God with our own mouth. But what do you say? Well, you know what? If you just say hallelujah, that is the highest praise you can give Jesus. And what we're going to do is after we repent, and we're going to have it's not going to be long. I mean, some of us may need to pray longer than others about repenting. But I'm going to speak a word of faith. And when I shout hallelujah, everybody in this place is going to respond and shout hallelujah. And in the name of Jesus, the Holy Ghost is going to fall in this place. And every single person in this place is going to be speaking in other tongues. So if our ministry team, I don't know if you have a prayer team or ministry team, if our ministry team could come up around the front and help us pray here in just a second. Those that have been pastorally approved to be on ministry team. I'm believing that Jesus is getting ready to show up in your life in a way that you weren't quite expecting him to show up this morning. In Jesus' name. So just for a moment, everybody, you can repeat after me. You can pray in your own way. It doesn't matter. But I'm just going to walk us through some repentance, okay? I'm going to just walk us through some repentance. And you can just repeat after me. And I'm believing that Jesus Christ, how many knows that Jesus can forgive you today? Amen. So let's just repent right now, all together. And you can repeat after me, or you can just pray your own prayer. But let's repent as a family, as a church body right now. Jesus.